Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. IMSA finishes their season in Road Atlanta, and yet the checkered flag is only online. Mother Nature gives the Northeast Racing fans a real hard time. And what is up with one half of the Mercedes Formula One equipment? All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, October the 3rd, 2016, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is on top of the pit box, clearing me through lap traffic. I just hope I am not part of that lap traffic tonight. Speedway Report television continues to grow. Tonight we offer a video simulcast of the radio show. If you are listening to Racers Reunion Radio, welcome. If you would like to watch the TV program, go to Facebook and head on over to our show page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and we are live. That's this camera right here to my left. We are also streaming on SpeedwayReport.com in a partnership with Ustream. That is that camera right there in front of me. Go to SpeedwayReport.com, and there's a TV button on the top ribbon. Just go up there, click on that, and we should be magically live. So we got Facebook here, SpeedwayReport.com here, dueling video simulcasts, and everyone on Racers Reunion Radio. Thank you all for joining us tonight, especially our friends that are joining us in the chat room. On the stock car site, Danny Whitener's over there, along with our buddy Jeff Gilder, who's keeping me out of trouble tonight. Larry Urie is with us, Stars Radio, and Jerry Smith still hanging in there, and always a pleasure to see the legend, Tim Leeming, joining us. Click on over to my drag racing friend. Barb has already signed in early. Don is there. Jack, John, Rich, and Thomas, the usual crowd, hanging on Drag Racers Reunion. Glad all of you are on board, and also a special shout-out to our good buddy Leo down in South America, a good fan from Brazil. Don't know if you've got us on Facebook, Leo, or out there on the Speedway Report site. Hello to all of you down in Brazil. And by the way, if you are on our Facebook page or on Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, yeah, we'd appreciate a like. Just click the mouse right there, give the page a like. We'd appreciate that. And as long as we're throwing social media plugs out there, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is SpeedwayPat. Let's get right to our victory lane lap and tell you who won what over this pretty busy autumn weekend as we get into some cooler weather and longer shadows on the racetracks. The Sprint Cup cars were in Dover, Delaware yesterday, where the race was won by Martin Truex Jr. The Xfinity cars made for a nice doubleheader yesterday. They were scheduled for Saturday afternoon, were rained out, were pushed to Sunday morning. Daniel Suarez won that race, so they had a cool 600 miles for the fans at Dover, Delaware. I'm going to interrupt myself right here and talk about the tickets. There they sold advance tickets for both the Xfinity Series race and the Cup race. With the Xfinity race being rained out on Saturday, Dover did a really cool thing. They allowed everybody with either ticket to view Sunday's action. The only caveat they had with it is that people that had advanced tickets for the Sprint Cup race had priority for those seats as opposed to the Xfinity Series folks with tickets to that race, so they just had to move. But if you had a ticket to either show, they didn't clear the grandstands. They let you in for both races, both shows, 600 miles, the 200 and the 400. In a day and age where we've got more empty seats than full seats at some speedways, good for Dover Downs for putting the fans first and doing a great deal like that. All right, the weather plagued Dover, caused them some headaches, also caused our modified friends the headaches. We're going to get into all that, the Northeast in general. The NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour were supposed to race the fall final in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. That was postponed before the weekend even began. The track took a look at the Northeast forecast decided to run the event this upcoming weekend. So they pulled the plug on Friday. Saturday and Sunday were wiped out and canceled, postponed. They will be run this weekend, October 7th, 8th, and 9th, the fall final in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East Tour also raced in Dover, where Kyle Benjamin won his third race of the season. Justin Haley finished fourth. He clinches the series championship. In Formula One, they race in Malaysia in the overnight hours. That's the downside of running in the Pacific Rim for us East Coast folks. Daniel Ricciardo won over Red Bull teammate Max Verstappen and Mercedes Nico Rosberg. Rosberg was spun out on lap one, turn one, but he drove back through the pack for the podium. Lewis Hamilton's engine failure drops him to 23 points behind Rosberg for the World Championship. The IMSA Tour raced the Petit Le Mans in Road Atlanta on Saturday. That was won by Michael Shank Racing. The wheelmen behind that were Olivier Pla, John Pugh, and Oz Negri. Dane Cameron and Eric Curran finished fourth, and they won the Prototype Championship. NHRA brought their tour to Reading, Pennsylvania. Winner in Top Fuel was Antron Brown. Funny Cars to Tommy Johnson Jr. Pro Stock to Vincent Nobile and Pro Stock Motorcycle to Eddie Krawick. They were very limited in their qualifying on Friday and Saturday. Again, Mother Nature. They got the finals in on Sunday. Good for them. However, tough run on earlier in the weekend. The Lucas Oil late models, they even faced the rain down here in the southeast. They were around me in Fayetteville, North Carolina, but were rained out. Thursday night, the event has been canceled, will not be made up. The tour will have a date at the track in 2017. This one, they tried their best to get it in. It was actually postponed from earlier in the summertime. But they did get the show in on Saturday in Woodstock, Georgia, where Dale McDowell won the Dixie Shootout. And last night in Rome, Georgia, Scott Blomquist was the winner of the 60-lap feature. More rain to report on. World of Outlaws sprints were supposed to be in Williams Grove. Well, actually, they were in Williams Grove, Pennsylvania for the National Open. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night was scheduled. It was all wiped clean. Rain got the best of them. It is now a one-day show to be held October 14th. $25,000 awaits the winner of that event there, the one-day show. Speaking of sprint cars, the USAC machines were in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Josh Hodges became another first-time winner in the USAC ranks in the Fall Nationals to the tune of $10,000. Two big short track races to report on as well on the pavement. The All-American 400 returned to a super late model race in Nashville, Tennessee. It was won by Bubba Pollard. And the Short Track World Championship, also for super late models, 200 laps up in Illinois. Casey Johnson was your winner there. Let's move on over to my, I don't know, we're going to call these weekly rants, weekly complaints, or the big stories that kind of jumped off the page at me here. I've got three that I'd like to bring up. One of them you might have seen earlier in the day with a Speedway Report television run, a short one we ran earlier in the day. That's available on the website as well if you want to check that out, or on our social media pages. I've got this, the Mercedes incident with the part failure there, the IMSA coverage or lack of broadcast coverage from Road Atlanta, and I could almost all go for a weekly complaint session or rant about the NASCAR chase. Where do we want to start? Why not? I ended it with stock cars last week with NASCAR and the chase in the playoffs and the NHRA, so I'll save that for last. Let's start with open wheel ranks. Let's talk about Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton had an engine failure in Malaysia, and that was his fourth mechanical failure this year. This highlight reel of him losing an engine was all over the place. Smoke poured out of the back of the car as he came down the front chute in front of the pit road. Shortly thereafter, flames billowed out the back of it. He pulled the car off to the left, screamed no, no, no into the radio, put his head in his hands, gripped his helmet, dejectedly climbed out of the car. Now, very shortly after that, he had some well-pointed comments about the team, but I will give Lewis Hamilton a pass. Just when you put a microphone in a race car driver's face right after they get out of the car, I tend to give them a little more slack. So maybe some of his comments were tempered later when he spoke to the press. Right away, though, he said some smart stuff about the Mercedes folks are actually kind of retracted it a little bit. But I'll interrupt myself here a moment. I find this when media jumps right to a race car driver and gets their comments shortly after they climb out of the car. I equate this to a baseball player striking out, and between the home plate and the dugout, the walk back, the television crew comes up with a camera and a microphone and says, "Hey, how do you feel about striking out?" And we take race car drivers to task if they're not professional and mention the sponsors. I find this the same situation, always have, that it's fair to let these guys collect their thoughts. Now, granted, you get the colorful, good quotes when they come right out of the car. And if you can get your microphone in there, yeah, your film and your reel will be played and you'll be the guy that broke the story. However, that's what happens. Just we get the stuff, the comments that maybe they don't really mean, but you get that raw, heated emotion. Anyway, after Lewis climbs out of the smoke billowing Mercedes, he says, and I quote, "Someone doesn't want me to win this year. We have so many engines made for drivers, but mine are the only ones failing this year. Someone needs to give me some answers because this is not acceptable. I just can't believe that there's 8 Mercedes cars and only my engines are the ones that have gone this way. Something just doesn't feel right. It was a brand new engine. It's just odd. Only mine have gone." And for the record, make note of it, Mercedes also supplies engines not only to their own team, but also to Williams, Force India, and Manor. Now, the black helicopters are naturally circling. I think it's more of Russian roulette with these cars. If there's any credence, I mean, on paper, yes, Hamilton's engines have blown, Rosberg's have not, but do you really think that there's a plot to keep Lewis Hamilton away from the world championship? This doesn't make sense to me. Kind of like NASCAR fixing all these races for Jimmy Johnson and having him win all those championships. Why? I see what you're saying on paper. Reality and common sense just doesn't come into play. Now, I've got another quote here. Toto Wolff, the head of Mercedes-Benz Motorsports, had a longer statement, and he was pretty diplomatic about it, and actually took Hamilton's comments in stride. I'll read his quote to you as well. "It's hard to know how to sum up a day like today. I just have no words for what happened to Lewis. We feel his pain. This is a mechanical sport with so much technology, but sometimes you get blindsided by situations with no rational explanation. It's a freaky coincidence as to why he has suffered the majority of the engine problems this year, like the odds of throwing red 6 times in a row in a casino. But we take a forensic approach to our work and how we build the engines and how we analyze the failures. We always have done, and we will do so again. Our guys will get to the bottom of what happened and learn from it. But I don't want to talk about forensics on a day like this. I want to focus on how Lewis responded in the aftermath. We let him down today, and we are beating up ourselves about it. And you know, if you're leading the race, about to get back in the championship lead, and then your engine blows up, then every answer is allowed in front of a TV camera." I thought that was pretty big of him. "It's completely understandable, but instead of venting frustration, he came back to the garage and shook the hand of every team member. We talked in a small group, and we were already down. Then he stood in front of the team and found the words to lift everybody and help us recover quickly for Japan. This is what the great drivers do, the true champions, and I must express my respect for how he conducted himself today. For Nico, it was a great recovery drive after what happened in turn one. You can look at the first corner two ways. He was unlucky to be hit by Sebastian Vettel in the Ferrari, but at the same time, lucky the car did not sustain more damage. Then he did a brilliant recovery, drive back to third place with no mistakes. As for the penalty, I don't want it to be our focus, and it didn't ultimately cost him any places, but it was a complete nonsense. We all decided that we wanted to see racing, and if no driver was clearly at fault, then we should let them race. But it's for others to comment and not my main priority right now. The task is to pick ourselves back up for Suzuka. One of the greatest qualities of our group is how we come back." That was how we come back from defeat even stronger than before. "We will do that again now in time for Japan. next weekend. That was Toto Wolff, head of Mercedes-Benz. So he's also giving Lewis Hamilton a pass, getting right out of the car and kind of slamming and venting Mercedes. He gets back to the garage. He collects himself, talks to his crew, talks to the guys, lifts them up. There is no week off between then and now. Their next week's race here, October 7th through the 9th, this upcoming weekend in Japan. They're on the overnight rotation right now, racing in the Pacific Rim, the Formula One Tour is. So if you would like to watch them, NBCSN in the overnight hours. So Hamilton gets out of the car after blowing an engine. Rosberg doesn't seem to have any engine problems this year. Hamilton lights up Mercedes. It's cool, though. The team kind of gathers itself, gathers its wits. I don't believe there's any credence either to how they're building one engine for Hamilton of Mercedes that's looking to blow and building another one for Rosberg that's looking to live. I don't buy that for a minute, but that's good water cooler talk anyway, and good fodder for the black helicopter pilots. On the video this afternoon, as I jump road racing series from the open wheel, open cockpit cars to IMSA, I was questioning their TV package and relationship with Fox Sports. The Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta had the green flag Saturday morning on Fox Sports 1. They took a break and went off the air, had an afternoon session on Fox Sports 2 later in the afternoon, and then about the final 3 hours of the race was only available online or on a Fox Sports app. So let's dive into this a little bit deeper. On Saturday night on television, I had a look at the Fox Sports schedule, Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. They had the NASCAR trucks from Las Vegas and the UFC fights on the other channel. I understand how lucrative both these entities are for Fox Sports. I'm not going to be a fool and tell them no, that they should preempt any of these. They need to get these on the air. Dive into it a little further. The trucks started out in Las Vegas, 5:30 their local time. That was 8:30 Eastern time. Checkered flag flew around 7:15 Vegas time, which was about 10:15 on East Coast time. The IMSA race checkered about 9:15 on the East Coast time in Georgia. So if you move that around a little bit, the truck race could have a 7 or 7:30 local green in Las Vegas. That would put you about 10 or 10:30 on the East Coast when it went green flag. That would have been a nice doubleheader window. The race at Road Atlanta, the IMSA Championship, and then the truck race immediately following that. Road Atlanta is a timed race. You know when the checker is going to fly, so there's really no gamble on the overage for a TV window. You could package it nice. NASCAR owns IMSA, for crying out loud. Their concern was more for the truck race Eastern time TV, their audience here, than over the IMSA championship. Now, shouldn't that be part of a TV package that is negotiated between IMSA and the Fox offices? It's the IMSA championship, for crying out loud. Hello? This should have been made to happen. The NASCAR truck race, very important. The UFC fights, very important for Fox Sports. I get that. Don't get me wrong. But this was the IMSA championship. It wasn't a regular season race that we could have done a little tape-delayed coverage, something a little more online, a little less television. This was wrong. IMSA fans deserve better, and IMSA management deserve to treat their fans better. This is another series similar to IndyCar that needs rebuilding, needs new fans coming in, needs more television audience, needs more seats in the grandstands. It can get there, but not with promotion and broadcasting like this. What the IMSA leaders did was wrong. This should have happened. We could have fudged with the truck race a little bit. I'm not familiar with the time frame of UFC. I know a lot of them are on the West Coast in that time frame. You can make that flex a little bit for the East Coast time. Without knowing the ins and outs of a TV contract and a package, I think a heck of a lot more could have been done for the IMSA series, the Petit Le Mans, the crowning of their 2017 champions, and how their season ended and how the checkered flew. Now we'll go one more time. We'll get into the stock cars tonight. My weekly rant against the chase and just auto racing playoffs in general for NASCAR or the NHRA. First round of the chase is over. Three races in. Four guys got eliminated yesterday in Dover. And even though those three races are pressure packed, nobody has an advantage. It's not like the performance you have in those three races carries over at all. For goodness sakes, there's seven races to go, and we have a 12-way tie for the lead. Let's put some numbers to this. I pulled up the numbers for Fox and IMSA. Let's pull up some numbers for NASCAR and stock car racing. Brad Keselowski, 4 wins, 15 top fives, and 20 top tens in 29 starts. Austin Dillon, 0 wins, 4 top fives, 7 top tens. Excuse me, 11 top tens in just as many races. Kez has as many wins as Dillon has top fives. And they are tied. Tied going into the championship this week in Charlotte. 12 guys tied. If that isn't the most artificial, excitement fabricated, phony way to build a championship, I don't know what is. I've said it on the show before. I've complained. I think I need a new rant, a new subject to rant about, because I just go on and on and on about the chase because it gets more ridiculous every week. So black helicopter pilots in Formula One, no, nobody wishes Lewis Hamilton to not win the world championship. IMSA, you should have treated your fans better. Wrong. That race should have been on television, not just online. And the chase, I can't throw that darn thing out quick enough. Bye. Everybody, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. This podcast tonight will be posted a little bit later. We also have columns from Vicky Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and myself. And you can check out the newly launched Speedway Report TV. I hope some of you joined us tonight, either here on Facebook, there on speedwayreport.com. If you're on the website, like I said, at the top ribbon, click on the TV button. It'll drop down. It will bring you to the video. And over here to my left, just head to Facebook at our page, Speedway Report. With Patrick Reynolds on Facebook, and we are live there. Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion did a great job in bringing this to you tonight. You can hear more from the entire Racers Reunion family tomorrow, which is Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on Racing Through History. We affectionately call it the Goat Rodeo. Don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern Time, right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Thank you to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in, both our stock car friends and our drag racing friends. It is great to be part of your Racers Reunion family. Like Jerry Smith said on the last show, Stars Radio, there is not a whole lot of time to chat with you guys now, as these broadcasts are shorter, faster, more powerful. We've got more horsepower. I kind of like them, but I do. There is very limited time to get on the chat room and go back and forth with you guys. So let me ask you this. Did you tune in late? Or if you'd like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of the Racers Reunion programs, we broadcast live content Monday and Tuesday nights. That replay is 24/7 through the week. You can hear it all by clicking the Listen Now button on Speedway Report. We also archive all our shows so they're available on demand whenever you'd like. And I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, you take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening and watching to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS are coming right now at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with draglist.com. A reminder, please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next week and have results from Charlotte, the Winchester 400, the first Super Dirt Week at Oswego, and we will riff into racing's hot topic. Thank you all for joining us on Racers Reunion Radio, Facebook Live, SpeedwayReport.com. Good night. Trust me.